Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ message. A new sermon. I bring one every week here on this station, and I'm very, very enthusiastic about it because I find just Jesus, the network, the place I want to be. And it goes all around the world, www.whiteworldnet. Hey, are you listening in every day? Oh, look, there's lots here to just make your day that the Lord wants to hear from you. Thank you for joining. All right, let's get into today's message, and I've called the message The Comfort Zone. Before the Antichrist, of course. The Comfort Zone. Now, if you place a frog, now we're supposing, okay, you probably wouldn't want to do this unless you were in maybe economics class or science or something in school, but I have no desire to do this, but let's just presume, okay? If you place a frog in a pot of boiling water, he'll say, ouch. No, he won't. Well, maybe he will, but you just probably won't hear him. Anyway, he will at once try to jump out. But if you place the frog in room temperature water, you do not frighten him, then he'll feel very comfortable. Now, if you turn up the temperature something rather interesting begins to happen. You know where I'm headed, right? Okay. Now, as the temperature of the water rises from, say, 70 to 80 degrees, the frog will probably do nothing. Actually, he will show every sign of enjoying himself. But as the temperature increases even more, the frog will become groggier and groggier until he's not able to climb out of the pot. There is absolutely nothing holding him back. The frog will simply boil. Frog's legs, anybody? Oh. Anyway, that's an example. Now, why? Well, because the frog's internal functioning for sensing threats to survival is geared to sudden changes in his environment, as opposed to slow, gradual changes. For example, if you suddenly reach out to grab a frog, he will hop aside, right? On the other hand, if you reach out very slowly, you may be able to subdue him. When there is a sudden change in your lifestyle now, it is often difficult to adapt quickly. If there's a sudden change in your lifestyle, it's often very, very difficult to adapt quickly. For example, if you're having a family picnic, let's go with a family picnic at the local park, relaxing and enjoying your peaceful gathering, beautiful summer day, when suddenly, without warning, a lightning bolt strikes a tree nearby. Oh, you didn't see that coming, right? Oh, okay. The tree is split and almost topples upon you. It's happened, you know. It's happened. You and your family, of course, you rush away from that scene. You have to get away. However, this very spur-of-the-moment experience, well, It's caused some deep emotional trauma in some members of your family, at least. Maybe not you. But if you had heard the approaching thunder in the distance, getting closer, then, well, you may have left your comfort zone. As it is, there was virtually no sign. No sign. Let me ask you this. Isn't that the way we sometimes live our lives? Without any warning signs? Traveling a road that is taken for granted? We know what's down the end of that road. Or even if we don't, we know there must be something or the road wouldn't be going that way. Right? Well, many of us travel that road from beginning to end with no care of what tomorrow holds or who it is that holds tomorrow. Am I getting somewhere with you? Okay. Now, the Bible says, the Bible, God's word, his holy word, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's interesting. Proverbs 27 verse 1. Also James 4:14, which reads, for as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, in the realm of things, that's about the size of it. One of our lives is as a vapor and quickly vanishes away, so to speak, right? Now, we don't want to get carried away by this because there are some surprises in store for any of us, each of us, whether we're saved or not saved. Now, isn't this what I just described, basically how we live from day to day? Oh, I don't know. Looks like it might rain today. Or, oh, man, I think it's going to be a hot one. Or there's a storm across the valley. Every day is different from the day before, even though it may virtually resemble the day before. That's true. There's something different about it. And you say, well, let the proverbial chips fall where they may. There's nothing I can do about it. When your time's up, your time is up. Well, that's true enough. Poor logic, though, but true logic. Poor, miserable logic, actually, but still logic. Now, how would I know? How would I know this? Because I have been there. I have been there. Let's say a little prayer before we continue on. You've had some food for thought. We'll get into the real gist of the message here in a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with this information that helps us to better understand the God we serve, that we should not take you for granted, Lord, because you are a great, loving God. And Lord, you want us to do the things that are pleasing to you, because you want us to be blessed of you, Lord. Help us to understand that. Please go before us, Lord, every day. Lift us up when we're down. Give us direction when we're off course, Lord. But most of all, Lord, help us to be the way you want us to be. that our souls will be right with Thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, I call my message today the Comfort Zone. The Comfort Zone, according to the frog. Now, when we were young and foolish, and we were all young and foolish at one time, we knew little or nothing about the so-called comfort zone, right? Nor did we care. And some of us don't even care today. We're so busy living the way we please, a life that we can actually enjoy, be a part of, feel like we've achieved something. Well, that's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's in line with God's Word. Changes things a bit, doesn't it? Stay with me, please. Stay with me. We're so busy. We're living as we please. Our hormones are ablaze, and we just can't wait for the next exciting interlude to come along to upstart our lives. Upstart our lives. When I was a child and knew very little about God, I made myself a promise. I was going, heading, reaching out for that brass ring. You know that brass ring? The brass ring of life. And nothing, no how, no way was going to stop me. I was strong. I was healthy. And I was on fire to enjoy my life. I was. Nothing wrong with that. But I was also in a big, fat hurry to sow some wild oats. I was. I didn't know about Bible scripture back then. I was a Catholic, and reading the Bible was strictly forbidden. Oh, for sure, I didn't know a thing about the love chapter, nor did I know what it was like to have the gift of prophecy or to understand all mysteries and all knowledge. My priest didn't tell me. And though I thought I had all faith that I could move mountains, I really didn't have much charity. I guess I was too busy collecting it from others, never thinking of giving it back. Nor did I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I was too busy looking out for number one, me. I was the type who rejoiced in iniquity instead of the truth. And charity didn't mean much of anything to me, unless it was coming my way. And as for knowing in part, well, I guess I thought I knew it all. Leastways, it seemed that way. It seemed that way. And when that which was perfect was come, then that which was in part was still there. You see, when I was a child, I may have spoken as a child, but that was because my voice had not yet changed. And when I became a man, well, I didn't have any childish things to put away, like the Bible says. Or so I thought. Yes, I may have known in part when I was young. I may have known in part when I was a young lad. But I'd never allow anyone to know that. I thought I knew it all. Been there, have you? And the only glass darkly that I ever looked through were the fancy shades I stole from the corner drugstore. The sunglasses, of course. Yes. When I was young, well, faith was practically non-existent. And hope was, well, hope was just another four-letter word. As for charity, well, Mom used to say, "We can sure use some of that." She also said, "Charity begins at home." Yep. When I was a child, we were always looking for the comfort zone. Not riches, no more than our share, but just to be comfortable. You say there's nothing wrong with that? Well, there isn't really, unless it has some offense to others around you, or you get a bit, you know, greedy, and you see others who are in desperate need, and you say, "I'm looking out for number one," and you think you are number one. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I was in my mid-40s before I conceded there was a greater power than all of us. A greater power. I'd always been a searching kind of guy, but what I needed now was something that was found a long time ago. His name was Jesus. He came from God. In fact, he is God. The book that Catholicism wouldn't let me have or read was all about him. The Holy Bible. My mama had a spare one just lying around gathering dust bunnies. I remember the first day in the solitude of my one-room apartment when Jesus said to me, spoke to my heart, "Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Wow, how that came alive to me. It meant so much now. It meant so much now. From that day forth, I held tight to that book, that precious Bible that my mother had set aside. I cleaned the dust off it. I went through it, and I went through it, and I read it, and I spent so many days and nights just clinging to the Word of God. It was then I realized that God had put me aside from a life of shame, a life of ruin. And I gave him full control of my entire life. I did. He instilled within me a brand new life, a life I never knew even existed. Like a brand new pony. Like a brand new pony, I gave Jesus the reins. And whenever I stumbled, as we sometimes will, he was always there to pick me up. Yes, he was. And wipe me off. And then give me a gentle push in the way he wanted me to go. That's the Jesus I know. my friends, this really is the Jesus I know and have known ever since. The Jesus who loved me more than I could ever love myself. Ever. The Jesus who went to the cross at Calvary and suffered and bled and died for a sinner like me. Thousands of years ago. He's the greatest comforter I have ever known. And I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you for saving my life, for rescuing me from my bin of sin, for helping me to understand that only what's done for thee will last, for giving me a new life, a life that will never perish, a life with you in glory. For you died for me. You paid the price that I could never pay. And I love you, Jesus. I love you so much. I'm going to ask you to read 1 Corinthians 13. Would you please? The complete chapter. Read 1 Corinthians 13. You know, you'll notice that my phraseology has been guided in part and in whole by God's written word. You know, when I say things like, it was in my solitude, or I was in my comfort zone, or I walked the walk, and I talked the talk, but not really. You know, in verses 11 to 13, now this is in, as I said, it's in 1 Corinthians 13. And actually, 1 Corinthians 13 is, just let me get a hold of it here now so I'll make sure I'm in the right place. 1 Corinthians 13. Had it right here at my fingertips, and my fingertips are so dry that it just slides away from me. You know what it's called, don't you? I'm sure most of you do. It's called the love chapter. It's God's letter to us, his love chapter. I'm going to read verses 11 to 13, okay? 11 to 13 from 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, well, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity. You see what I'm talking about? You know, in Revelation, in the revelation of Jesus Christ at his second coming, it's clearly indicated that Christ will come in the air to receive his saints out of the world before, that's important, before the great tribulation. Now, this is clearly outlined in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. And I have to go there because I think it's so important. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. Please listen carefully. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit, the restraining force against sin. And verse 8. And then, that's after the Holy Spirit is taken out, then shall that wicked, talking about the evil one, that old devil, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Lovely words. Words of comfort. Words we need to hold dear to, cling to. I ask that you read it over again and again and get the comfort that I get out of it, knowing that Jesus did it all. He did it all. It indicates that the Holy Spirit, as long as he abides in this world, in the bodies of the host of Christians, will prevent or precede the appearance of the man of sin or Antichrist. Christians now in the world will be taken out at that time. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. Now, it's vital that you understand this next part. The servants of God who will be persecuted by the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, that's not us who are believers now. This is those who will be left to go through the tribulation because they did not believe and were not taken out, and they'll go into the tribulation. Well, it won't be a pretty picture for them, because they're going to face lots of delusions. They're going to face lots of problems. This is why I entitled my sermon, The Comfort Zone. See, we, whether we realize it or not, are in the comfort zone. All those who repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ before the rapture will not go into the Great Tribulation. To come to Christ now will ensure that you are in the comfort zone. Are you in your comfort zone? Is it the one the world provides, or is it the one that God provides through his Son, Jesus Christ? I pray that you've got something out of this message today, and I pray that you'll be lifted up, that the Spirit of God will just make you shout with joy. God loves you. Oh, yes, he does. May God richly bless you and your house as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.